And here he is talking in the 11th chapter, and he must be in harmony with what I'm saying, or God must be in harmony with me to bring this to me right at this point. So it said, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a potion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the wound of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years, and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, that is the reaping days. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the cloud return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirits will return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as gods and as nails fastened by the masters of assembly, which are given from one shepherd. And Father, by these, my son, he admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is awareness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Cast thy bread upon the waters, he said, and after many days it shall return to thee. I appreciate you being here tonight. Glad to have Leon with us. He came down and visited with us quite a bit last night and said he'd come back and visit some with us tonight. We're glad to have you here. We're moving toward camp meeting. I think we've probably got about 7 more days. I'm not too good at keeping up with dates, times, seasons, whatever. But we're grateful. You know, a lot of people regard seasons and times. As a matter of fact, Paul on one occasion said, I'm afraid of you because you observe days and months and seasons and these kind of things. And a lot of people, they observe certain days like Sunday to them as a holy day, which I have nothing to say against that. But just speaking of the times and seasons, there is no such thing as a holy day. There's no such thing as a holy day on Sunday or Saturday or any other day after Calvary. It is called the day that the Lord has made. And this is his day. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And this is the Lord's day. And what he wants us to do is get in the Spirit and live holy and be holy and keep every day as the holy day unto God. Over in Israel, it's amazing. Over there, they got, like on Friday here is a certain day for a group of believers. And then on Saturday, here it is, a group called the Jews. And then over here on Sunday, there's a group called the Catholics. On Sunday, Catholics. On Saturday, Jews. And I believe on Friday, it's the Mohammedans. And it's just a continual holy day. And this place is shut up, and that place is shut up, and this place is shut up. And it's just a big mass of confusion. Everybody, you know, just don't know what to do, just going everywhere. And they say that over here on this certain street, Joseph told me, said Georgia Street, we're riding down, I believe it was. He said they will frolic on this street. They'll drink. They'll do anything. As a matter of fact, I saw one of the Jews sitting there lighting up a cigarette. He said, but on Saturday, he said, if they catch anybody riding down this street, they'll literally stone them. And I thought, my God, no wonder Paul said, I'm afraid of you because you keep all kind of days and seasons and months and new moons and all these Sabbaths and all these kind of things. See, it's a sad situation. It's a mixed up affair. When we are born again, we are taken away from those kind of things. When we're born again, our mind should never be in such a conglomeration of a mess. We should love the Lord. We should be filled with the Holy Ghost. We should do the things that please God. You know, here at Little Bethlehem, I've never worked on Sunday as a rule. Never built any of this on Sunday. I don't let the people work on Sunday, but not because it's a holy day. It's no holy day at all. As a matter of fact, if you need something to eat, you go out there and work and get it. Because if you need it, whether it's one day or another day, you need to go get it. There is no such thing as holy days with God. But I do that so as to protect the testimony of Christ, because people are so ritualistic. Hundreds and thousands of people live around Bethlehem and around this area, that to them Sunday is a holy day. And if you do anything on Sunday, you've desecrated the day. It's hard to believe that a person can get their mind into that kind of thing. You know, where the Bible said, if they want to do that, let them do that. He that regardeth the day regardeth unto God. If he don't regard the day, he don't regard unto God. You know, it's just another day to him. But if they regard one day, the Bible said, in some esteem, one day above another, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind, because he esteemeth that day unto God. So let them do whatever they want to. But anyway, I felt like saying that as we passed over that thought of times and seasons. Hard for me to remember times and seasons and days, because the God that I serve, he's an everyday God. He's all around the year, day and night. He's in my heart, and we worship him and love him. And every day is a glorious day with that wonderful God of heaven. So then we serve God with our heart, with our mind, and we're always trying to do something for God. And that's why that I teach these things the way I do. Instead of holy days, I teach these things as being a Christian. God doesn't care for holy days. All of these people that are in these denominational churches, even Pentecostal churches, those people are mixed up in their minds with these things as the holy days. I say this, it's good to set aside a day to go to church. And if you take that as Sunday, well, that's good. That is kind of an old thing to a custom here in our part of the world. And the Bible said, render custom unto whom custom is due. And we need some days to go to church. So I think it's good that they have Sunday, that they can go to church that way and they can fellowship a little bit. But really, in the early church, they had every day that they went to church. I mean, they went to church. That's all they lived for, was to pray and to fast and to go to church and to be a Christian. They did not have ritualistics like we've got in this day. See, and this is what the Lord is telling us to do. Not only do we put our money, our substance, our whatever, cast it upon the water. Not only do we do that, but we do our time the same way. We do our minds the same way, our effort and our strength. We cast it upon the waters that after many days it might return to us. See, we give a portion unto seven, as the Bible says. That is, share with what you've got. Share with your time. Some people, they don't even have time to share their time. They're so busy and so booked up with their time, you know, that they never have time to share a word or a prayer or a little help with somebody else. You know, years ago, if somebody was sick in the community, if somebody had a problem in the community, If somebody couldn't get their crops in the community, a little sickness struck, or whatever it might be, the people got together, they worked together, they worked as a unit, they loved one another, they shared with one another, everything went along fine. If a preacher was in the community and needed help, they helped him. You know, the Bible said, render unto all their needs. Those that wait at the altars are partakers with the altar, and as the Bible said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And they rendered unto their needs. If they had one preacher, a dozen preachers. They didn't care. You know, they shared what they had, and God gave them much, much more. And they shared, and preachers went everywhere preaching the word of God and doing the things of God. And the blessings of the Lord came down upon the families, and a man's muscles rolled when he walked out into the field. He was strong and healthy. He wasn't a little old skinny, you know, something that couldn't half breathe, you know, stuck over in a hospital somewhere. He was a man. He worked. He got out there and he worked. He was healthy. And the women was the same way. You could see them punching the old pots, you know, and cooking the beans and picking cotton, and the kids running and picking cotton and doing whatever. I remember this real well because that's the way we did it. That's the way my grandmother did it. You understand what I'm saying? They were healthy people because they shared. If neighbors was around, they shared. They shared what they had. They didn't let people go hungry around them. These people would share with them. But this little group of people we got today, my four, no more, they live over here, and their very neighbor can sit right here, and the children can starve to death, and they don't even know their neighbor enough to even invite them to church. The chances are 9 out of 10 that living that close to two people, that they've never even visited them, they've never knocked on the door, they've never invited them to church, they've never even said anything in the way of a consolation or to ask them if they need help or anything else. That's the world we're living in. A selfish world. Seeing people in need, but greedy dogs that don't never get enough. They never get enough. They've bought something here, and they've bought something there, and they've got something else they've traded over here, and they've got to have a little money laid back just in case. You know, and they spend it on all kind of insurance. They've got to have some burial insurance, and they've got to have some insurance over here in case they have to go to the hospital. Folks, tell me something. What happened to them people back there that was my grandmother, my granddaddy, and some of them other folks? I don't remember them having none of that. I don't remember them having that. We lived in a house that didn't even have electric lights, as Jim said. See, I don't remember them having that. As a matter of fact, when I was a boy, all we had was a horse and a buggy. Writing on newspapers always saying, this fellow got hit by a flying car over here, you know, speeding automobile. We didn't have all them things coming, jumbling up our mind and messing our minds up. What is it? We've got more modern, more understanding, more education. We're supposed to be smarter people, and we're being killed like flies. We're the smart generation. We're the great scientific generation, you know. And here we are dying like flies. In the hospital, it's filled up. In the insane asylums, it's filled up. In the prisons, it's filled up. On the highways, it's just one wreck right after another wreck. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, you've got to remember that people are multiplying and there's more people out there going around. No, that ain't what it is. That ain't what it is. There's thousands and millions of acres scattered out. But people want to jam right up together. The Bible said, woe unto them that lay house to house. See, this man runs off with this man's wife because every time he looks through his window into their window and he sees what's going on. You understand what I'm saying? He knows when the man goes to work and he's out there and she's over here, or she's in a car running around over here somewhere, all conglomerated up together. See, there's thousands of acres out yonder that needs to be frontiered, as we would say. People could move out yonder just like in Monroe. They could scatter like flies here and go everywhere. Even Texas alone could just about take care of thousands and thousands of them. See, what is it? It's our mind. We're so afraid. Somebody says, I've got to live in the city. The hospital is nearby and the emergency wagon can get there. And I've got to have somebody look after me. Come on, folks. You know what it is? It's the devil of fear. used to men were men and women were women and children raised up. They come up with good sound minds, and they didn't have a whole head full of the stuff that they've got today that they called education. But the one thing they did have is common sense. You know, and they grew up out there and they had a good time. Somebody said, but all these good things, Brother Pike, that we have to do while we run to town and we hear the, you know, the tinkling of the music in the stores and we can look at all the pretties. To me, that don't half satisfy me the way it did when I could go down to the creek and when I could jump on my horse or the old mule and ride out to the field, or I could go pick berries or plums, or I could go over here, visit with my neighbor over here and maybe strum on a guitar or sit around over there and fellowship and sing a little bit. Don't satisfy me half as much as those things did when I could get out here and didn't have to dodge automobiles and stay in a nervous fervor all the time, you know. Or that way, stay there that way now. See, out there, you felt free. I got a picture down home. They put it on the Daystar in the last publication. And these women in the long dresses walking down a little road. They're picking berries and looks like they're happy. And freedom around, you know, maybe the springtime or whatever it was. Just, the picture is just so lovely. But we're a bunch of sick people that's jammed up together in the city and everywhere. I go to Michigan. I remember when Betty and I was up there preaching, living in a little old apartment, and every few minutes you hear the siren screaming, somebody laying in the street or somebody got killed. And according to scientific definition right now, as to surveys, there are millions of people being killed every hour. Every hour. Millions of them being killed every hour. I mean, it's a constant thing, constant thing. You know, I've worked for the funeral home where you go out, you have a wagon to go out and pick them up dead, and you have an ambulance to go out and pick them up when they're hurt. And it's all the time. I mean, it's all the time. Like years ago, a friend of ours that worked here in Atlanta, I've mentioned this a number of times, worked on the telephone system there. She said years ago that from Friday until Monday, said it never stopped. She said it's continually a report and a ringing of somebody that's killed somebody that's raped somebody that's robbed somebody. She said it never stops day and night. And that was years ago. Could you imagine what Atlanta, Georgia is like now? Why? Because we all have to run together. You know why we want to do that? Because we're too lazy to work. Folks, too lazy to work. We see Brother Bill over here and Brother John over there, and we put it all together and we think, now that is a good living right there. If I can con them just right, I'll make that living. I might trade them an old junker. I'll pick it up for $50 and I can swindle him out of $150. He'll never know better anyway. He got no system to his life anyway. He throws his money away and I know he's going to need a junker. I'll just pick it up and I'll set it over here because I got my eyes on him. Women are the same way. Women beg, bum, borrow, steal, do anything but be real women and stand up and work. You know, little old television mothers, television dinners, and these little old nobodies that runs everywhere looking for some great day and some lucky time, you know, when something's going to happen to them and the world's going to discover them. This is the kind of people that we got in the world. They're looking to be discovered. Surely somebody's going to see after a while, I'm a great preacher. I'm a great person. I'm a movie star. I'm a singer. Somebody's going to discover after a while that I was meant to be the president. Somebody's going to find this out sooner or later. But you know what? Sooner or later, you're going to discover that your face is all wrinkled up. And you look in the mirror and you're going to say, oh my God, what have I done? I've let a devil of deception get a hold of me. And you're going to be visited in the cemetery and they're going to have a hole waiting on you just like they have the millions of others that went down the same trail that was thrown into the end of the plot. And if you happen to get a little fame like some of the other men and women in the past have done, or you get a position like some of the great men of the earth have done, still there's a little hole waiting for you. After all your greatness is finished here, they're going to drop you into a little hole. See, what are you doing? What am I doing? What are we doing? We're sitting idly by and letting the world go to hell. And we're sitting idly by and letting people starve to death by the millions, feeding our bellies and looking at our face and painting our eyebrows, shaving the legs as they do, trying to do something that's crazy and wild and foolish while people die and go to hell. I might say, well, bless God, I ain't like that. You ain't. You're not like that. Why do you do the things you do? Somebody said, well, I don't do like that. Well, everything I've seen out of you, that's what you did. Everything that I've seen out of you, that's what you did. You've taken what time you've had and you put it into your own desire, into your own home, into your own place, into your own writing, into your own plans. You might have prayed a little bit, and you might have fasted a little bit, and you might have given a little bit and called that Christianity. Come on, folks. I said you might have done that and called that being Christ-like, but that's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. I'm talking about being a Christian. I'm talking about being born again. I'm talking about getting down to business and not playing games with God. I'm talking about being sober and being upright and being godly and holy and pure and getting the junk out of your face with the televisions and the magazines and all these other kind of things and getting it out of your home and stopping such foolishness. You know, and you watch this and you watch that and say, well, this ain't too bad and that ain't too bad. And like I was telling somebody today, even if you get it out of your face and you sit around and you talk about it and you've got it in your mind, you're just as much in trouble as the person that sits and watches it. You know, you start talking about a boxer and after a while you're just right in there boxing. You start talking about, as we said this morning, Laurel and Hardy or whoever they've got now. You know, you're just laughing and talking about them boys and them the biggest, best kind of fellas, and you're right in there with them. And the same way with anything else in the world, you're right there. The Bible said you serve God with the mind, and you've done got your mind into that spirit, and you've done got your mind into that thing, whether it be the gluttony of the flesh or your own plans or desires or whatever, and you're on your way to the lake of fire. So then, what do we do? That's why we're trying to build a little place here, have a little church here, trying to print a little literature here. That's why we're trying to get to somebody, whether we walk, whether we go by plane as we did to Israel, or whether we go by boat, whether it be our boat or their boat or his boat or whatever it is, as long as we can get something together. That's why that numbers of people around about miles around us are giving, some of them many pieces of clothing, garments, or something that we can take down to those people. As a matter of fact, one man up here has, as of late, out of his store, I guess it is, called us a number of times and given us one van load of clothing right after another. Sometimes a store will give us I've seen hundreds of pairs of shoes of women and men and children that would be given to us at one time. And many other things. That's why there are few women that are concerned, go down here and they get away from this old routine of eating and drinking and backbiting and gossiping. And sad to say, some of the gossipers and backbiters follow them to their work. And they need to get rid of them. I told Betty to get rid of those kind of people. But anyway, the few that's faithful that go down there that work, and the different men that come out here that's willing to leave their wives and children and homes and whatever and come around here and do a little something, that's the reason we're trying to do it. Is because I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to play a game. I don't want to try to tell somebody that I'm a Christian and act like something that I ain't and be a hypocrite. That's what a hypocrite is. It's somebody that tries to pretend to be something they're not. Folks running around, you women with your long hair and long dresses and running around here acting so holy and pious, that ain't nothing. That don't mean nothing. And you men running around here as so grave as if you're so holy and whatever, that don't mean nothing. God wants you to do something. The Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, is that you go visit the widows and the orphans and their afflictions. You go visit the widows and the orphans and their afflictions. You do something for them people. Somebody said, well, I sent an evangelist $15. What is that? What is that? What kind of person are you to even think like that? We need to do something for God. We need to do something for God. We need to do what the Bible said, to visit the orphans and the widows in their afflictions and keep yourselves unspotted from the world. If you're not staying holy and you're not staying godly and you're not staying pure, you don't have anything at all. And if you're not feeding the widows, and if you're not feeding the orphans, and if you're not taking care of the needy, you don't have anything at all. Not pure and undefiled religion. All you've got is a brainstorm and a hallucination from some paganistic practice, whether it's from Pentecostals or whether it's the Baptists or Methodists or whatever it is. But folks, let's walk in the Word. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word, and you're saved by faith. And what we need to do, and when I say we need to do, I'm talking about everybody needs to do. America and every other nation on the face of the earth, every individual is rise up and do something like the early church did in making an effort and making a sacrifice for Christ and for them that are in need. That's what we need to do. And if we can't do that, then let's face the issue like it is. We're just like all the rest. We're just a bunch of ritualistics. We may not count beads like the Catholics, but we're no better off than they are. We're not a bit better off than they are. Someone says, oh, I got the Holy Ghost. You couldn't have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't even think like you think, let alone act like you act. The Holy Ghost don't even think like you think. See, this is the Holy Ghost. The Word of God is the Spirit of God. And that's the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost said, feed those that are in need and help those that are in need. That's the Holy Ghost. If you don't do that, the child is known by his doings. And if you don't do that, you don't have the Holy Ghost. If I can sit around and feed my tummy, and if I can sit around and just enjoy my life and just go here and there and do the things I want to do, folks, and be like I want to be, and drop a little bit over here for some evangelist, or drop a little bit over here while I glutton everything that I can get to lay it back, or to put it over here for my flesh so that I can have something to live on. I don't have anything. I mean, let's face it. If I'm like that, then you need to get yourself another preacher, because I ain't got nothing. If I can't do something for God in the way of praying and in the way of fasting and in the way of getting up here and telling you of your wrongs and of your sins, where the Bible said to lift up your voice like a trumpet and tell my people. He didn't say tell the heathens. He said tell the church people of their sins and of their wrongs. He said because you take pleasure in coming to church. Let us go to church, somebody says. So you take pleasure in going to church. And the Bible said, and you act like that you've done my will. Taking pleasure in going to church and saying, well, we've fasted, we've done this, we're Christians. And the Lord said, away with that, away with that. Away with that, he said. I'm not interested in that. He said, I want you to feed the hungry. I want you to take care of the widows and the orphans and do something. Somebody said, well, we got widows on the home front. I know. Some is fat and plump and feeds themselves like fattened pigs. Got plenty of income and make out. They don't even know what hardships is. And they grumble and mumble and find fault. And they say, we're a widow. Why don't they give us some money? When they've got enough that they could share with a half a dozen hungry babies somewhere down the islands or something. And still have plenty left over to live on. Even though we try to consider our widows here. We try to take care of them. The Bible said if somebody be a widow indeed, somebody that's lived with a man faithfully for X amount of years, and then about 70 years old or 60 years old, and they've washed the feet of the saints, and they've been just down the line, as the Bible said, then said you ought to consider them. Otherwise, said let the families consider the widows. Let them take care of them, and don't let them be brought in the number as a young widow, because they'll begin to wax wanting and sin against God if you do. So then God said to relieve them that are widows indeed. There are people that are widows indeed that need help. There are orphans that don't have any mother or daddy. They don't have any income. They don't have anything. I know you're bound to see it in some of the magazines and some of the places you've been. I've been right over there. I've looked at it. It's horrible just to look at it. Especially in India and Haiti. See the little ones crawl along the streets and slide up under a piece of cardboard at night if they can find the piece. Or as it was in India, I just saw them everywhere. I mean everywhere. We've got one or two around here that they just mess around and don't try to do nothing and don't try to keep a place or nothing else. And they think they have a hard time because they can sleep on the cushions. But folks, if you was over there and saw some of the little babies, saw the mothers on the some of the hard concrete and sometimes on the rocks and sometimes on the dirt, laying there with nothing to eat, not half fed like a fattening hog, laying there, but I mean half starved to death. I saw the little mother. I'll never forget it. I had just come off of a number of days of fasting, and Mike remembers this. And that little mother was sitting there with her little baby like this, and it was over in the morning. Our people went to sleep, and I went to get a little nibble. And there sat that little mother like this with that little baby, and she done gone off to sleep, and half holding the little fella and the little frail fella over here. Another with a little laying over here by itself, asleep over here on a hard place, not even as much as a piece of pasteboard to lay on. And I looked at it, and my heart, I thought, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? It'd been a few days, we hadn't eaten anything. I thought, what can I do? No matter what you do, you know, there they are. I did this so I could feel their infirmities. I did this so I could have a feeling for them and understand. But folks, even with that, you still don't understand what they're going through with. You can't understand. Oh, but bless God, I got it figured out, some man or woman says, you know, especially a protruding woman. She's usually all you need is a protruding woman. She'll tell you all about it because she's got the answer. But instead of being humble and sweet and realizing that what I'm saying is right and probing the husband to say, my God, what kind of foolish people are we? Let's do something for God. She's got it figured out. She can tell you all about it. She don't know nothing. She's just silly, but she's got it figured out. See, and some men are the same way. Some compassionate woman will say, let's do something for God. Well, I ain't giving it. You know, he might talk to somebody else and he might deceive them, but I'm too smart for that Brother Pike and that Brother Taylor and that Jim Kirk and them taking my money. I know. No, you don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. Like a man I told the other night, he's hollering over the car. He was trying to talk to somebody and tell him about the right thing. He kept blading out. I said, what you need to do is shut your mouth. Oh, he said, I know. I said, you don't know nothing. If he didn't know anything, he kept his mouth shut to start with. The Bible said a wise man will keep his mouth shut until he knows what he's doing. I said, you need to shut your mouth. And he did shut it. See, this is what we need to do, folks, unless we're going to plead the cause of the orphans and the widows, unless we're going to tell the people what they need, unless we're going to do something for God, we need to keep our mouth shut. The Bible said there's some mouths that ought to be shut. They don't need to be telling nobody nothing. They don't need to be going around saying, well, I don't know, Brother Pike said it, but it ain't really like that, because it really is like that, just exactly like that. So your mouth needs to be stopped. The Bible said there's mouths that subvert whole households that need to be stopped. They teach them their little ritualistics. And as I said, it ain't no more than counting beads. They criticize the Catholic Church. What we need to do is get together in one mind and one accord. And we need to stand up for God. And we need to do like the early church. And we need to share with the poor and with the needy. And then whatever God gives us or whatever we have left, if we want to do something with it, then that's all right. When we share with God and we give, we need to give till it hurts too. We need to get down till it hurts. You know, you really ain't doing nothing until you get down to where it hurts a little bit. Somebody would say, well, I don't have any leading. I'll tell you what, like Jim said, you don't believe in pledging. You don't believe in pledging, but you pledge your life away to your belly and to your natural sources of desire. You do that with regularity. The only place you don't believe in pledging is to God or helping somebody. So he said, well, I don't have any leading. Let me tell you something. Anybody that has to wait till they get a leading to feed a little baby when the baby's starving to death, that person must be it. You're talking about an ignoramus. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. That person is not even a decent human being, let alone a Christian. When we know that the world is starving to death, and we sit here and don't do anything about it and say, well, God didn't speak to me and I ain't had no lead and I need to fast anyway to find out. That's something wrong with you folks. Listen, I'm saved by faith in the Word. The Word told me to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I can go anywhere and preach the gospel. That's the first thing that I can do. I've got that leading. I've already got it. God told me to feed the hungry, and God told me to take care of the poor, and God told me to share with the widows, and God told me to keep myself unspotted from the world. I don't need no leading to do that. I already know that. God told me to do that. It's by faith in the Word that I'm saved in doing that. And you talking about leading, what kind of bunch of ignoramuses are we? Folks, since when do we have to get a leading to live a sober, godly, holy life? I see a lot of people, and this happened to me numbers of times in my lifetime. I've heard people say, well, I didn't come to the altar tonight, Brother Pike. It just wasn't my time. It just wasn't my hour. And somebody said, I finally come to God. I guess it was my time. 10 years I didn't come. What kind of ignorance is that? The Bible said today is the day of salvation, and now is accepted time, and whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you waste 10 years and don't come to God, it's because of your ignorance and rebellion. If you heard about God 10 years ago, you should have come to God 10 years ago. Somebody said, well, I don't see it like that. That's because you're blind. If you had any understanding, God, you'd see it like that. But because of your ignorance, you're blinded by the eyes of your ignorance, and you won't listen to the preaching of the word. And you go around in your little world, and your world is no bigger than your little finite thinking or your little minute way of looking at things. The same way you give to God, the same way that you serve God, it's all the same thing. You need to get right with God. If you're not right with God, you need to get right with God. And you need to serve God, and you need to give to God, and you need to share with God of your substance and of your time. And as the Bible said, to honor the Lord with your substance, sometimes bless God, preacher, but you'll never get me into that. I don't want you into that. I wouldn't have you into that. That's like the hogs getting into the slop bucket when I used to go to feed them. I don't want you into it. Let me tell you something. You remember what I'm saying. God expects the righteous to support a righteous cause. And that's why I don't get up on television and anywhere else to plead for money. Because the Bible said the offering of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. And anybody with that kind of outlook is a wicked person that would let a little one die to feed their belly or to pay on their car or to do something in this world. They are evil and they're wretched and they're wicked. The first thing that you ought to do is seek the kingdom of God and share with God. And then whatever you have after that, then do whatever you can with it. If you lose your car, lose your car. What better cause could you lose it for? You haven't lost anything. Others lost their lives trying to do something for God. And you worrying about losing a car, losing a house, losing your reputation, losing your name. All these kind of things. All of that kind of thing is wicked and evil. Evil. Wicked. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and get your mind off of your bellies, off of your face, off of the things of the world. And come to God and lay all of your heart and your substance and your mind and your service down at His feet. And then you are a Christian. Until you do that, you're not a Christian. There's no need of saying you're a Christian, you're not a Christian. A person may come to God as a little babe and they may not understand these things. And they still love God. Those people are Christians because they haven't had time. They've not developed. They don't know. You need to work with them. Give them the milk of the word. But folks that's been in this for years that do those things, there is no Christianity about them. They've got ritualistics and formality and they don't know God. Somebody said, bless God, I'm going to hold on to it to take me through. You're going to hold on to it and you're going to wind up in a hole and you ain't going through with nothing. I'm telling you what the Bible says, and that is what you have to do to be a Christian. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the Word. And if you don't have the Spirit of the Word in you, then you don't have God in you. And if you have the Spirit of the Word in you, then you'll do what the Word says do, or you don't have the Spirit there. All right, so then, cast thy bread upon the waters. After many days, it'll return to you. Give your portion to seven. Share. He that gathered little had no lack, and he that gathered much had nothing left over. I wonder if any of us have anything left over. I wonder if there's anybody that has some lack. See, to be a Christian is to be Christ-like, and to be Christ-like means to give your all. To give your all. If you haven't give your all, don't tell people that you're a Christian. And I say that in respect to little babes in Christ that don't know, that hasn't developed, that hasn't come to the things yet. But you that's been in it, that know and haven't give your all, don't you tell nobody else you're a Christian. All right, let's stand together. Thank God stirred me a little bit tonight and gave me the scripture that I might talk with you to let you know just how selfish you can really get to be. Everybody cannot give alike in an offering. There's people that cannot give as much as other people. They just don't have it. They don't have the strength. They don't have the talents. They don't have the ability to do it. But there's some that's just as greedy and selfish as they can be. They have plenty of talents. They have plenty of time. They have plenty of strength. They have plenty of substance. And they just absolutely won't share. That's all it is to it. So people, some people cannot give like others. Maybe you couldn't give $1,000 to the work of the Lord tonight. And maybe you only gave 500. Maybe you gave 100. Maybe you gave 50. I know that many of you that might give 50 could have given $500, but it's your minute way of thinking, and you measure God in such a way. The Bible said the one thing that upset God was they limited God. They limited the Holy One. They limited God. And this is the thing that really upset the Lord. What is it, sugar boy? $1,000. Is that David? Your dad? Who is that? Your dad? Oh, Brother Leon Dickens. I'm sorry, I didn't recognize the little one, Brother Leon. Brother Leon said he'd pledge $1,000. I think it's outstanding. I really do. Because Leon don't even come here as a regular thing. That really makes us look bad. That just makes it look worse for us, actually. See, somebody like that doing this just makes it look worse for some of them at Bethlehem. Sometimes some folks get upset and think, well, I wish I hadn't even given $1,000. If Brother Potts going to say that, won't you keep your $1,000? Won't you back out and keep yours? Because I don't need that anyway. As I said a while ago, God has ordained that the righteous support the gospel. And the offering of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. See, now there's an unrighteous man and there's a wicked man. And the Bible said, let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts and the wicked man forsake his ways. When you think wrong, you're already unrighteous. But when you begin to do wrong, then you're considered a wicked man. And when you don't do what the Bible says and you know it, to know to do good and do it not, that's wrong. That's evil. And the Bible said it's required of you. See, there's a sin of omission, there's a sin of commission. And if you omit as to what you know to do, then you've committed a wrong by the omission of not doing what you knew to do. So to do whatever the Lord tells us, to love the Lord, to try to do something, some people could share. They could share a lot more, and they just won't give but a little because their mind is just not that broad. It isn't that they couldn't do it. Their mind is just that small in their outlook toward God, and they are caught in the trap of their own mind by limiting the Holy One. And as because of that, their faith is in that kind of condition to draw the blessings of God to them. See, to draw the blessings of God. If their mind had been, the Bible said, and he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. See, if a mind is open to the extent that it just wants to sow bountifully, that means it is in a condition to believe that God's going to do something extra special. To receive bountifully. But if it's a little minute thing where it's got everything figured out according to the intellectual reasoning and got its little system, you know, and whatever, then that means that that individual is not very broad in believing in God. You check that individual out and see if I'm telling you the truth. They're not very broad in believing in the greatness of God, and they limit the Holy One to their own life, and it upsets God. Because God said, I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. And I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. And he said, and my blessing will make you rich. And it won't add any sorrow. And I'll give you the desires of your heart. Simply because you delighted yourself in me. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I'm not saying these things in respect of woman. I tell you the name of the Lord, I'm not. I never even considered Brother Leon even giving an offering, let alone $1,000. Because as far as I'm concerned, the offering given was already over. But I'm just telling you, I'm a preacher of righteousness, and I'm just telling you where your problem is, why some of you are in the condition that you're in. And I tell you something else, you're never going to get out of it. I know some of you, I've been around you for a number of years, and I've tutored you, and I've talked to you. You're never going to get out of it. When you go out of this world, you're still going to be that same little pinchy sort of a person so far as praying to amount to anything, or studying to amount to anything, or fasting to amount to anything, or giving to amount to anything, or whatever. There'll still be that little pinchy way of yours. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Oh, my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven. I'll rest and I'll sail. I'll cease no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. Can you sing it with me? Evermore. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. You know, Solomon one time said, all of these things that I've gotten by wisdom, and who knows but what I'll leave them to a fool. And sure enough, he left them to a foolish person that lost so much of it. So all of a sudden, I may have a little something tonight the way you would judge it, folks. You may have a little something the way the world would judge it. But do you consider how close you are to the grave? Solomon said, and then who will own all of this? To whom shall it belong? Do you consider that you're going to leave everything you got? It don't make no difference what you got, whether it's fame, prestige, popularity, position, whether it's money or whether it's loved ones or whatever, that you're going to leave it, that you're going to die and leave it. And God, being the all-wise God, knows that and wants you to know that, so that you will do something in this little tiny span of life to where you can stretch out eternally and forever in eternal life. Are we going to hold on to our little puny thoughts and our little way of life and our plans and our prestige, our program, and our careers, we call it, our substance, until we fall headlong into the grave, and then leave everything to a fool to squander it when we could have invested in God? Think about it. There's billionaires that has played the fool that could have given to God. I've got a cousin. I think he's one of the finest fellows I ever knew. Hard worker. Conservative, pays his bills, goes to the church. Dad and mother's always done it. See, but right now he's worth millions of dollars, prestige, businesses, all around everywhere. But like his dad, a few days ago, his dad was here with him. Uncle Son, a lot of money, houses, all kind of things. But Uncle Son's dead. He lived a good life, 80 years. 80-something years. He's dead. Now, what about all that stuff? Aunt Velma, it's left to her, but she's just about ready to go the same way. Then what? And Pete's getting older all the time. See, what good is that? Billionaires, people that could invest in God and do something for God, they won't do it. And then they die fools. And all of it's left to a fool and squandered away. The government gets it to somebody, whereas they could have fed some little hungry children. Just think of the billionaires that have bound together and the millionaires that have got together And the different churches that have got together, the organizations that have got together, along with the government, whatever. Think what we could have done just as one nation in helping hungry children and doing something. But folks, we as a people just won't do it. There's something about a man, I don't care what you say to him, that thing, the Bible said you can't serve mammon and God, and the Bible speaks of mammon as being money and riches. The Bible said how hardly Jesus told the disciples one time, they kept asking him some questions. He was talking to a person over there that had some riches. And when he invited him into the kingdom of heaven, he just turned around and walked off with his riches. Just as churchy as he could be. When it come to the commandments that I've kept him from a youth of, just as religious as he could be. But when it come to money, just as gullible as he could be and couldn't get loose from it. Jesus just looked at him as he walked off and he turned to the disciples and he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples was alarmed and thought, my, you mean we can't have no riches and go to heaven? And he said, children, said, how hard is it for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God? Said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Somebody explained that away. They said, well, there's a place over in Jerusalem, and you know, you can go through there. It is true. It is true to this extent that they said the camel could get through there if he took everything off. You know, if the rich man unloads, it's true he could get through there. And that's true. I'll accept it like that. That's the only basis I'll accept that on. Because when Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to inherit the kingdom of God, he meant exactly what he said. You take a camel and try to stick him through the eye of a needle. I said, well, he didn't have needles in. Oh, yeah, they sewed the tents. Try to stick him through the eye of a needle and you'll find out how easy it is for the rich man to get into the kingdom of God. Now, somebody said, well, that old rich man, I'm talking about them that have riches. The Bible said them that have riches. That's the old rich man, them that have riches. Did you know today we've got more than the kings of old had? Did you know that you live more comfortably than the kings of old lived, that they didn't have the convenience of the modern electricity and the different things that you have today? Even Solomon's pools that we think of being so outstanding. You go over there and it's a rough, rugged, ragged looking situation. I've been down to them a number of times compared to what you got. So, what's going to happen to America, them that have riches? Almost everybody in America's got riches. And in many other countries have riches. What's going to happen to them? They're going to go to hell. Oh, somebody said they're churchy. I know the rich young ruler was too. But we believe in doing what? I know all about that. But that ain't the answer. That ain't the answer. You'll go to hell just as sure as you're living. You're going to have to break down and get right with God and share your substance and your time. And whatever you've got, as is written, he that gathered much had nothing over. And folks, that goes for Brother Pike, number one, the preacher, and that goes for every one of you, number two. Out of the world. Let's sing another little chorus together while they're here. Don't labor for the meat for the belly. The Bible said the meat that perishes. Labor for eternal life. You say, well, I've already given to God, Brother Pike. I know. The Bible said the rich men went by and they dropped in quite a lot. A little widow come by and she dropped in her two mites. Jesus said, this little widow, I say unto you, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, I say unto you, that little widow gave more than all of them that gave. Said, because she gave of her penury, all of her living. Wasn't much, but that was all she had. Said, these dropped in quite a bit, as we would say in our day. Said, but it was out of their abundance. So you see, God isn't interested in the size of your offering. He's not interested in what you give. He's interested in what you had left over after that you give. If I'm wrong, Why don't you prove me to be wrong? If I'm bold enough and love God enough and love your soul enough to stand up here and tell you this, believing with all my heart it's right. And if it isn't right, if it could even be said that way, because this is faith in the Word. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But if you can prove me wrong, then you need to be the man and woman that's bold enough to speak up and say, bless God, Brother Pike, I'm the person. Because I just love it. I just love to hear what you've got to say. That way that devil would show to everybody. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The Word of God, and the great wonderful Word of God, said this little widow has given more than all of you. See, because she had nothing left over. So then, folks, let me tell you, I love you. I've had people to come to give me things, numbers of things, and I said, for God's sake, would you please keep it? I've got so much now, I'm steward over it, I have to watch over it. Why don't you be steward over it and use it for the glory of God? But you know, there's some folks that can't be steward over nothing. The only stewardship they know is to put that in a rat hole that they call a savings account back there, so that they can retire off of it, or they can have convenience, or whatever that would work out to their benefit, which is so wrong, folks. Which is so wrong. So let's sing another little chorus together. You say, well, Brother Pike, what do you think God wants us to do? Everything you can. Well, what do you think He wants us to give? All that you got. As the little saying was, not just the Tommy Halt as the Indian gave, but the Indian himself. God ain't satisfied if you give all the money you've got and don't give yourself. He still ain't satisfied. He wants everything, including you. All right, when He gets everything, including you, everything will work out all right. Let's sing this little chorus, I Love Him. A lot of people ain't never give Him everything as to their substance, let alone them. They ain't never got around to that yet. I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation. On Calvary's. Can you sing it again? I love Him. I love Him. Oh, because loved me, and He purchased my salvation on